welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online. Last Sunday, my message was focused on hope for the hurting. Hope for the hurting. And if you remember, we looked at David's life and how he dealt with the struggle of depression. Many of you told me that that message really hit home and was particularly meaningful. I would say, you know, if you know of somebody that would need to hear it, you can always go online and see it again. Along a similar line today, my message is titled Comfort for the Weary. Comfort for the Weary. So have you been there? Weary. You know, sometimes in life we just feel weary. Amen? Tired. Weak. And why is that? Well, sometimes it's because it's hot outside. Hello? And when it's hot outside, the heat can just sap the strength right out of us. Other times, we're dealing with everyday life, earning a living, caring for our family and friends. And at times, we've just got more on our plate, it seems, than we can handle. And so our energy, our strength, it begins to wane, it begins to run out. And then there are those unexpected events of life that really take it out of us. A diagnosis of cancer, stroke, a heart attack, a car wreck, an incident at work or in the community, a wayward child, a troubled friend, a challenge in a relationship, an illness that makes no sense. Most of the time, we're living on the edge of life anyway, and then when something unexpected happens, it really throws us for a loop, and we find ourselves overwhelmed. It's in times like that that it's easy to ask what I call God questions. Questions like, where are you, God? Are you out there, God? Don't you see what I'm going through? At times, we feel God doesn't see us. In the midst of life's difficulties, it's easy to think and to feel that God doesn't see, that God must not be aware, because I'm struggling here, God. I'm struggling, and you don't seem to be doing anything about it. I can't tell that God even knows that I'm going through this. I don't see any signs of His help. Have you been there? Ever felt like that? Felt like God doesn't see your plight? He's not even aware. Apparently, the people of God from of old felt that way. In our text for today, in Isaiah 40, 27, the prophet says, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is what? Hidden from the Lord. My way is hidden from the Lord. Sometimes we feel that way, that God doesn't see, that my way is hidden from the Lord. Or worse yet, that God doesn't care. Verse 27, B, my cause is what? Disregarded by my God. My cause is disregarded by God. He doesn't even seem to care. Think about people in the Bible who might have thought that way. I can think of some. Joseph probably felt that way when he thought, you know, my brothers have sold me into slavery. And if that wasn't enough, then Potiphar's wife has tried to seduce me and got me thrown in jail. And the chief cupbearer, he has forgotten me in this prison, even though I interpreted his dream. Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. God said, I'm going to lead you, and you're going to take them out of Egypt. It's going to be great. You're going to take them to the promised land. But in the wilderness, along the way, it was hot, and there was little food, little water, and a lot of grumbling. Hello? Lord, where are you? You told me to lead these people out of Egypt and into the promised land, but this desert time along the way is tough. Jeremiah spoke words of prophecy that God gave him, but he often found himself thrown in prison. Naomi lost her husband to death, and then her two sons died as well. Job lost his wealth and his family, all of that in one day, and then he lost his health not long after that. Often times in the Bible and often in everyday life, because of things that happen, the people of God, people like you and me, we grow tired and weary and weak, and we begin to lose hope, begin to lose faith. Where are you, God? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you care? And these are natural feelings, even for people strong in faith, strong in experience. In Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet provides us needed perspective. Oftentimes, you know, when we are in the pit of despair or struggle, all we can see, you know, is our immediate circumstances. And we have tunnel vision, and it doesn't look very pretty at all. And our emotions are all over the map. And in times like that, we need a word of wisdom. We need a perspective from God. Isaiah the prophet had a vision of God high and lifted up in the temple, and he answered God's call to be a prophet. He said, "Here I am, God, send me." And throughout his life, he spoke words of both hope and judgment. Hope for those who were seeking God. He had words of hope for those seeking God. Judgment for those who did not seek God. In our text for today, in answer to the questions, does God not see? Does God not care? Isaiah says, Isaiah has an answer. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Isaiah reminds us, the Lord sees. The Lord sees. He wants us to remember who God is. Don't forget, he says in Isaiah 40, 28, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. The Lord is God, the everlasting God, the creator that all it is. He will not grow tired. He will not grow weary. Where are you, God? God says, I am here. I am here. God sees. He knows. He is aware. And Isaiah goes on. He reminds us, the Lord cares. The Lord cares. Though our perspective and understanding is limited, and we often have more questions than we have answers, Isaiah affirms that God not only understands, not only sees, but he cares. Isaiah 40, 28, and his understanding no one can fathom. In other words, his ways are our ways, or not our ways, I should say. Verse 29, he gives what? Strength to the weary and increases the what? The power of the weak. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Though we don't always understand his purposes, in the midst of our trials and difficulties, God gives us spiritual resources. He gives spiritual resources to people who desperately need it. He gives strength to the weary, and he gives power to the weak. True story of a family in the New Jersey area who liked to go swimming in the ocean. And they were great swimmers, and they would just go out together and swim. And they were one day the father and daughter were out swimming. She was probably about 11, 12 years old. Together they were swimming, and then for a little bit he noticed that they were getting separated and that the current was taking them farther out from the shore. And so the father knew, hey, we're getting into some trouble here. And so he called over to his daughter and he said, I am going to go to shore for help. If you get tired, turn over and remember, float on your back. You can float that way all day if you have to, and I will come back and get you. So before long, search parties were combing the sea with boats looking for this little girl until finally, after 4 hours, 4 hours later, they found her. And on the shore, the crowd was all excited as she was brought back onto the shore. But the girl herself was rather calm about everything. And she said, well, you know, my dad told me that I could float like that all day long. And so I just rolled over and I floated for as long as it would take because I knew that Dad would eventually come get me. I knew Dad eventually would come and get me. Now, can we develop that kind of a faith perspective ourselves for our own lives? You know, I don't know about you, but often in the midst of my difficulties, I tend to panic. I tend to fret. I tend to worry. I tend to flail around a little bit. Oh, Lord, this is terrible. This circumstance, how are we ever going to make it? You know, if that little girl would have had that perspective, she'd have been in trouble, flailing around. How are we going to make it? She had a simple, trusting perspective. Dad told me to just float out here, and eventually he would come get me. Oftentimes, God is trying to say to us in the midst of our circumstances, if you'll simply trust me and rest in my power and strength, I will see you through these circumstances. And I will help you safely to the shore. Do you not know? Have you not heard? He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I have to admit, those words are pretty encouraging for me because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel weary. I find myself weak. I suppose we all do it one time or another. So how does God do it? How does he give us strength to the weary? And how does he increase the power of the weak? Well, I think of three primary ways. The first one being his word. His word. One of the greatest resources the people of God have had throughout history are the words that we find in the Bible. Stories were told and words were written down, and through the work of the divine human process, the Bible contains the words of life and hope and promise from God. In fact, the Bible contains all that we need to understand who God is. He has revealed himself as to who he is in the Scriptures. It also helps us to understand all we need to know about who we are. The Scripture affirms that, you know, we are created in his image, but we also have this problem, this nature, this sin nature, and God wants to help. It tells us everything we need to know about God, everything we need to know about ourselves. It tells us also everything we need to know about God's purpose and his plan for our lives and for the world. It gives us insight regarding the big picture stuff of life, but it also provides us specific instructions for the practical stuff of our everyday lives. Amen? The writer of Psalm 119, 105 declared this. Let's read together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Often the strength that we need to persist or the power that we need to overcome is found in the stories, in the principles found within the scriptures. It said that that famous missionary, Dr. David Livingston, when he was starting his trek across Africa, he had some 73 books in three packs weighing 180 pounds. And after the party had gone some 300 miles inland, Livingston was, he realized he was going to have to pare down his books because some, the fatigue of all those who were trying to carry his stuff. And as he continued on his journey, his library grew less and less until he had but one book left, his Bible. His Bible. He understood here in the midst of this new adventure that I'm seeking God about, this is the book that will be most important. John Wesley had this to say about the scripture. He said, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. How to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God. Wesley understood the power of the scripture. And yet, there is a resource even greater than the words of the Bible. John 1:14 says this, and let's read together. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The Word became flesh. The author of the Word has become one of us. We can know and we can experience the Word of God in the flesh. That is the amazing mystery of the incarnation of Jesus, Son. Of Jesus, I should say, Jesus the Son. I love to see, you know, the energy and all of the enthusiasm that happens around our Upward basketball camp. And we had that this week. All week long, our students were learning and improving their basketball skills, but they were also hearing about doing life with Jesus. And at the heart of our gospel is the claim that Jesus is the one who has come from on high. He's the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And as amazing and as confounding as it may seem, we can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe through his Son, this Word that became flesh. And so young people, children, and youth, as well as adults, need to hear and understand that. There is tremendous strength and power available to us through this relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. When we are weary and weak, we can know through him we are loved, we are accepted, we are forgiven. When we don't know if we're even going to make it, we can know that Christ came and gave himself up in love and passion for you and me. When we wonder if God really sees or if God really cares, we see in Jesus Christ the heart of God towards us. How does God give strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak? Through his Word, through his Son, and one more thing, through the Holy Spirit. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, not only do we experience forgiveness, not only are we declared right with God, but the promise is we also receive the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit. And as part of God's mysterious power at work in us, the Holy Spirit comes to encourage us and lead us and guide us, to help us, to teach us, to remind us. In John 15, 26, Jesus said, "But I will send you the what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the source of all what? Truth." I don't think we'll ever fully understand all that the Holy Spirit does in our life, does on our behalf in this life. Can you imagine what life might be like without the Holy Spirit? You'd be out there on your own, fending for yourself, dependent upon what wisdom you could conjure up yourself. No fruit of the Spirit, no power beyond yourself. It would be tough facing each day thinking, "Hey, I guess I'm in this all alone." But we see, we who have eyes to see and know that from the day of Pentecost forward, God has been pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and that Spirit is bearing fruit for God all over the world. Some of the brightest spots today are in Africa and China and India and South America. And yes, right now we have a team in Russia that's traveled all the way to Stavropol to continue the work of God unfolding in that part of our world. You know, when that image of St. Basil's Basilica was up on the screen, I was reminded, you know, when I was there, that image is right on the edge of Red Square. And St. Basil's is also known as the Church of Intercession. And I thought to myself, you know, there was a season in Russia when the government said, "We're going to stomp out the church and the influence of God." And I'm sure that there were some who said, "We need to tear down that St. Basil's Basilica right there on the edge of Red Square." But cooler heads prevailed. That cathedral is still there. That source of intercession, the Church of Intercession, continues to be there. And I just have to think that it's there because people, both in that country and outside of it, must have been praying, must have been interceding, must have been seeking God for a day when one day the winds would turn and the tide of what's happening in that part of the world would be different. And that day has come, and things aren't perfect, but here we are, partnering with our sister church in Stavropol, celebrating what God can do by the power of His Holy Spirit in a land in which one, at one point, you know, were persecuted for your faith. Well, God gives strength to the weary and power to the weak through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, and finally through the body of Christ. Think of how many times God has used someone else to encourage you or to strengthen you in your life, in your walk with God. What function, when it's functioning according to God's design and plan, the body of Christ is a huge source of strength and power. There's just nothing like it. And you have to, you, each one of us, you all have a part to play. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul writes this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it." In recent days, members of the body of Christ in our church have prayed for healing. We've packed rice and beans for others. We've comforted the hurting. We've fed the homeless. We've given generously to others. We had disciple camp. We had day spring camp for students earlier. Last week we had basketball camp. Music practice on Wednesday, Celebrate Recovery on Thursday. We're having a financial peace class later today, and Project Transformation reading ministry starts tomorrow, and all kinds of other things that happen through the ministry of this church each and every day. And it's particularly meaningful to see and to hear of how God provides strength for the weary and power for the weak in the midst of some of life's most difficult circumstances. Connie Compton, a longtime member of our church, shared her story. Take a listen.
Well, on July 4th of 2003, my son Kevin was riding a ski-doo and an accident had occurred and he was hit and rushed to the hospital. I prayed like I had never prayed before. And I have such faith in prayer that I know that God is going to answer. And I ask him over and over to heal Kevin. And while we were waiting, his boss came over to me and stated that Kevin, just a week ago, rededicated himself at this workshop that was going on for some women. And I felt an amazing feeling, but I was still very much wanting God to heal Kevin. And, you know, well, a couple hours later, a doctor and two nurses came in and said Kevin had passed on. But God had answered my prayer. Maybe not the way I wanted it, but the way God needed it to happen. I would pray and the prayers would be answered that Kevin was where he needed to be. That he healed Kevin and took him home to be our angel, and he was watching out for all of us. We have a big family, and I guess God needed a little help. God's given me the strength when I was down, but the support that I got from my friends here at church was unbelievable. I felt like practically it was the whole church supporting me, and I knew that they were praying. I could feel the prayers. There were many instances that I could feel God's power give me encouragement. I really feel when God has given me the strength and the power to go day by day. It's through prayer. I go out and I talk to God and Kevin every night. And I just feel renewed every time. Every time. I will never stop missing my son. But God is always there to hold me up and to give the strength to me that I need to go the next day.
What a powerful story. God is at work among us. He is a God who sees. He is a God who cares. And isn't it wonderful when a person like Connie can share her story and we can all see how God has helped her to come through. We all have our own stories and our own opportunities to experience God's power and God's grace and God's mercy at work in our lives. So remember this: the Lord provides strength when we are weary and power when we are weak. Do you not know? Have you not heard? He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Maybe you know of someone who needs to hear that message again today. Or maybe you're here and that message resonates for you today. Let's continue to walk with God. Let's continue to close our time as we pray. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, amazing Lord, sometimes we do feel tired, weary, and weak. Life is not always easy. Each day brings its unique opportunities and challenges, and when the pressure mounts and we question whether we're even going to make it, it's normal to wonder if you even see us or even care. And when we feel this way, we are not alone. Faithful believers have sometimes felt this way throughout time, but in the words of your prophet Isaiah, we are reminded that you do see and that you do care, and that even in the midst of our greatest difficulties, you are always with us to provide strength when we're weary and power when we're weak. Lord, may that truth ring true in our hearts today. Use your word and, yes, the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to us today. And may we experience grace and peace through your Son, Jesus, in every way. And may our life together in the body of Christ be a source of great comfort and hope today as well. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.